Evening, that you open our hearts as only you can do it, that you give us eyes that can see and ears that can hear, and reveal the treasures which are hidden in Scripture to us. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us live via the speakerphones. Also, those of you who will be receiving CDs in the next week or two. The service this evening, coming again from the Village Hall here in beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin, the heart and center of God's country. And we invite you to open your Bibles with us to Revelation chapter 20. We're going to be looking at verses 4 through 6, verses which are probably the seat of more false doctrine in the world today than any other verses in Scripture. And we'll read them through first. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I was trying to figure out during the week when I was working on the sermon outline how to introduce this, and I got down to there were really two introductions that I wanted, and so I've decided to have the best of both worlds. Why can't I have two introductions to the sermon instead of just one? So I'm going to have two, both equally important. We'll do that. We're not going to learn anything from these verses this evening that we have not already known from Holy Writ. We'll start right with that. The opening verses of Revelation 20 are some of the most twisted and misunderstood verses in all Scripture. And yet there's no reason for this. It's not that difficult. One of the key things in interpreting Scripture is when you come to a difficult verse, you interpret it in the light of other verses of Scripture which you already know and which are easier. And if we stick with that, it's not going to be all that difficult. We should keep a few things in mind. This is introduction number one. Let's keep these things in mind. Number one, this is under introduction number one, subpoint one. This is the only place in the Bible where it mentions Jesus reigning for 1,000 years. That's important. The term or the phrase 1,000 years, as far as I could show, find, occurs in 6 passages in Scripture. 3 of them are right here in Revelation. The other 3 are in Psalm 90, verse 4, Ecclesiastes 6, verse 6, and 2 Peter 3, verse 8. Neither of those verses talk about 1,000-year reign. So when we're talking about the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, we're looking at this verse here in Revelation, this section in Revelation, and that is it. So the context is going to have to show us how to interpret the verse. And it's not as simplistic as some people seem to think. Well, the Bible says what it means, and it means what it says. Well, that's true. But let's see what it's saying. Another thing. Let's remember that in the Bible, there are 3 kinds of death. There's physical death, which affects the body. there's a spiritual death, which affects the soul, and there's an eternal death, which affects the body and the soul. You can define these things very simply. Physical death is separation from the physical blessings of God, the things that the body has to have to live. Take air away, we die. Spiritual death is separation from the spiritual blessings of God. That's the condition of the soul. You can have a person whose body is fully alive and very healthy, but his soul can be dead. And eternal death is separation from the eternal blessings of God, which, as far as the unbelievers go, affects the body and the soul. Let's remember that. It's important in looking at Revelation 20. Conversely, another point, there are also three kinds of life. There's physical life, talking about the body, spiritual life, talking about soul, and eternal life, as far as God's people are concerned, talking about the body and the soul. Again, we can define these things very simply. Physical life is enjoyment of the physical blessings of God. Spiritual life, enjoyment of the spiritual blessings of God. Affects mainly the soul. And eternal life, enjoyment of the eternal blessings of God. And the next point under the first introduction is this. Let's not sell the Holy Spirit short. He is tremendously powerful. And this fact is not taught or recognized nearly enough in these last days. Many, many examples in Scripture of the power of the Holy Spirit, but just a few things that are attributed to him. Number one, the Holy Spirit was active in creation, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The Holy Spirit garnished the heavens, Job 26, verse 13. And the Holy Spirit saves God's elect, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. The theme of the sermon is the first resurrection. Right off the top, let's recognize this. It's possible to have a resurrection of the soul as well as the resurrection of the body. Second introduction. This is different from the first one. This is the passage that the people who believe in the millennium, and their number is legion, go to for their proof passage. Well, there is none other. This would have to be it. They shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And according to their view, there's going to be, first of all, a resurrection of believers. And these believers are going to reign with Jesus Christ right here on this earth for 1,000 years. Even though Christ said, "My kingdom is not of this world." But that's what they believe. One of the other proof passages they go to is in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, where the apostle says, "The dead in Christ shall rise first." But when you're looking at that in its context, he's not talking about believers and unbelievers. He's talking about believers. And when Christ comes again, he says, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then with the other believers who are alive together, we will all go up and meet the Lord in the air. We're all going to go up at the same time. That's the parallel here. It is not comparing a resurrection of believers with unbelievers. It's comparing the resurrection of believers with believers who are still alive in the face of the earth. Let's realize that. Okay, having said that, let's look carefully at the verses. And there are a number of things here that we have already covered, and I'm not going to go through them again. We'll take the new thoughts here in Revelation. Verse 4, a vision. John, I saw thrones, and they, doesn't tell us who the they are, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. So we're not talking about Christ judging. Here we're talking about somebody else, them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Okay, I saw thrones and they sat on them. It's not Christ who's sitting on the throne. Here it's they who are sitting on the thrones, and judgment was given unto them. Who are the they? They're the souls of those who have died for Christ. There's no new thought here, by the way. The thought of believers ruling and judging is no new thought. In Matthew 19, verse 28, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3, an amazing thing, "Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" So God's people partaking with the Son of God in judging is no new thought in Scripture. It's been taught before, and now it's coming up here in Revelation 20. At the end of the verse, we're told that they, the ones that were sitting on the thrones, reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, this is not the activity of Christ that's being talked about. It's the activity of those who reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. We've got to understand this. Example. If a man says, a young man says, "I lived on a farm with my parents for 14 years before I left home." That tells us absolutely nothing about how many years the parents lived in that home before the son was born, or how many years they lived in the home after the son left. It doesn't tell us anything about the parents at all. It only tells us about the son. And so here, they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. It doesn't tell us how long Christ has been reigning, or how long he will reign. It's talking about those who reigned with him, and they reigned for 1,000 years. Now, as far as the reign of Jesus Christ goes, there are numerous passages in Scripture that say he's going to reign forever and ever. He has an eternal kingdom, not one that's going to last 1,000 years and then it's interrupted. That's a foreign thought. The New Testament clearly established that the kingdom was going to come, that Christ is talking about, that's being talked about here, rather, before the apostles even died. Mark chapter 9, verse 1, "He said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." And again, this is an eternal kingdom that Christ is talking about. Now, John identifies the ones who are sitting there on these thrones in these words: "The souls, they are the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God." It's very significant that we're talking about souls here, not resurrected bodies. They were the souls of those bodies that had been beheaded, the believers whose bodies had been beheaded, and then they died, but their souls were reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, granted, sometimes the word soul refers to a person. There's no question about that. Romans 13:1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." That's talking not about only souls. It's talking about people. But this is far different here in Revelation 20. It's the souls of the ones whose bodies had died. They had been beheaded. And John says they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. We'll get into 1,000 years in a minute, but John is not teaching anything here in this vision that hasn't been clearly taught in Scripture before this. And exhibit one would be Romans chapter 8, 35, 36, 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then later on, not even death is going to separate us from the love of Christ. To the penitent thief on the cross said, verily I say unto thee, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. When a believer dies, when a believer's body dies, the soul does not die. It immediately goes to paradise to be with Jesus Christ and lives and reigns with him 1,000 years. Now, when the heathen people in Rome saw the heads of God's people being lopped off and rolling across the sands of the arena, they thought that they were dead. It was a hard time seeing loved ones brutally put to death by the Roman government. And it looked so final. John says, I saw something else. You saw somebody's head being cut off. I saw the soul of that person sitting on a throne in heaven, living and judging with Christ for 1,000 years. That's what I saw in the vision. The key thing here is to look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. Things which are seen are temporal. The things which are unseen are eternal. Okay. But the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. As far as 1,000 years goes, we have seen, unless we're totally blind, that John, throughout Revelation, the Holy Spirit through John, has used numbers in a very, very symbolical way. And there's no need to depart from that right here. The 1,000 is 10, which is a complete number, times 10 times 10. It's a representative number, a figurative number. Not a literal one. It depicts the whole New Testament era. We'll get to that in a minute. But first of all, he talks about the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, when it says the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished, that doesn't mean, when they're talking about unbelievers here, that doesn't mean that they're going to start living after the 1,000 years are finished. That's not what it means at all. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 6, verse 23, I believe, that Michael did not have any children until the day of her death. That doesn't mean that when she died, she became pregnant and gave birth. She never had any. But the way the Bible puts it, she didn't have any till the day she died. And then it was an eternal condition. That's the same thing here with the unbelievers. When they die, when their body dies, their soul doesn't go to paradise to be with the Savior. It goes somewhere else. They're dead. Okay. And they'll not live anymore. This is the first resurrection. What does the first resurrection mean? We don't have to guess about this either. There is no new thought here. Christ talked about two resurrections in John chapter 5. I'm looking at verse 25. I'm looking at verses 28 and 29. Verse 25 reads this way. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Remember, there are three kinds of death. There's a physical death, there's a spiritual death, and there's an eternal death. Remember that. We'll get back to that in a minute. That's the first resurrection. Second resurrection, 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. He doesn't say anything in verse 25 about those who are in the graves. But now the hour is coming which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Okay, so Christ here is speaking of two different resurrections. The first one is a spiritual resurrection. By nature, when we came into the world, we were spiritually dead. Body alive, soul dead. Body enjoying the physical blessings of God, the soul not enjoying the spiritual blessings of God, but rather being separated. When the Holy Spirit, this powerful, powerful Holy Spirit, who was active in the creation and garnished the heavens, when this Holy Spirit entered your heart through the Word and converted you and gave you a rebirth, this was a spiritual resurrection. Your soul, which was spiritually dead, became spiritually alive. This is the first resurrection. It had nothing to do with the body. It had to do with the soul. This is no new teaching in Scripture. It isn't. Listen to the words of Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, he's talking to live people here who had not died, by the way. Their bodies hadn't died. He's not talking to Lazarus, who did have his body die, but then Christ raised him from the dead, saying, well, if now you are risen with Christ, that's not who he's talking to. He's talking to real life people like you and me who have never tasted physical death. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Well, how can you be risen with Christ if you haven't died yet? Well, your soul is dead. But your soul was raised from the dead. It's a spiritual resurrection. This is the first resurrection. Or Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. It talks about us already being risen with Christ. That's the first resurrection. The second resurrection is the one at the last day when all of the bodies are going to come out of the grave. Jesus speaks about that in many, 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 many places. Everybody is going to partake of that one. So just to kind of summarize, this is not difficult. Let's not make it more difficult than it is. The first resurrection of Revelation 20 is the conversion of sinners. That's what it is. When the soul, which was dead, becomes alive by the tremendous power of the Holy Spirit. On the day of his conversion, the sinner comes to spiritual life. He is born again. And the life that begins on that day is eternal life. It will not be interrupted when the body dies. The soul is never. He that believeth in me shall never die, Jesus said. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And you won't. Your body might die, but your soul will not. There's not going to be a blackout period. You're going to go from where you are on the deathbed right up to eternal glory with your Savior. Not going to be any interruption at all. And it's going to be the most pleasant experience by far that you've ever had in your life. The soul will continue to enjoy the new life even while it's separated from the body. And it will be reigning with Christ during the whole New Testament period right up until the very end when the second generation, the second resurrection comes. The 1,000 years then are a symbolic number for the time between the days of the church and Jesus' day to the resurrection, the final day of the resurrection. It's the whole New Testament period. It's as simple as that. And it fits in beautifully with all the other teachings of Scripture. We'll continue with verse 6, finally, one final note on this. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Not only blessed, but also holy. The moment you come to faith in Christ, your sins are forgiven. You are holy. You are set apart. You belong to God. You are fit for heaven the very moment you're converted. On such the second death hath no power. You don't have to worry about the final judgment day. It won't have any power on you. The ones it will have power over are the ones that have not had the first resurrection. Those are the ones in trouble. But blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There are 7 Beatitudes, blesseds, in Revelation. This is blessed number 5. And we'll close on that. We'll close with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will again open our hearts and give us a true understanding of your word, each one of us, and grant that the comfort which our Savior has for us there may be ours. Fully in our possession even now as we wait patiently for our Savior and our future husband to be our to keep his promise. Behold, I come quickly. We pray this in his name. Amen.